Welcome to Dishing Heat with Wolf and Big Shot Song. I'm your host, Nathan Wolf.
And I'm your co-host, Max Song.
On today's episode, we're about halfway through the season, and we're going to look at the standings and see how we believe things are going to be shaking out. There's a lot of positions that are very closely contested between two games, between all the teams fighting for those positions. Interesting to see in the East who can make these top three seeds, as being a top three seed is very important, and who in the West are going to actually be able to make the playoffs, because there's a huge amount of teams very tight fighting for all of these playoff spots and play-in spots. Starting off in the East, between the 2 and the 5th seed, we have the Sixers, the Bucks, the Nets, and the Cavaliers, all within two games. Out of those teams, which two teams do you believe will make the playoffs? Or make the top three seed, sorry.
Give me the Sixers and the Nets. The Sixers, I think, are rolling right now, and I don't think they'll slow down anytime soon. I think they have an easier schedule than Milwaukee remaining. And Milwaukee, to be honest, hasn't looked that good. I think they'll continue to be all right, not that great. And the Nets will be a lot better when Kevin Durant comes back. Over the next couple of games, Kyrie only needs to sustain them for, I think, like two, three more games before KD's supposed to be back. And I think when KD's back, they are way better than the Bucks this season in the regular season. So give me the Sixers, the Nets in the top three.
That's interesting. I agree the Sixers have looked really good. Thing I'm looking at is the Cavs have been sneaky good. That offensive, defensive net rating and that SRS are all in like insane spots. I actually feel like it's almost ridiculous they haven't won more games. I honestly want to say it's very possible that the Cavs and Sixers sneak into those spots. I wouldn't be shocked if it was the Nets. I would be if it was the Bucks. They just haven't looked great and injuries have really hurt them this season. Being a top three seed feels pretty difficult, coming from where they are. But I would not be shocked if it was Sixers, Cavs, or even Cavs, Nets, any of those three. If I had to pick, I'm gonna say Cavs, Sixers, though. The Cavs advanced metrics just look really good. The team looks really good. Honestly, the only thing really hampering them at this point is Caris LeVert needs to get a bit better. Everyone else on this team is playing insanely good basketball. Donovan Mitchell's playing out of his mind. Darius Garland's been coming back from injury well. Let's not forget he missed some time. Obviously, Evan Mobley's still been great. The debate will always be there if he should have won Rookie of the Year, but they just have so many pieces there. I think I can see the Cavs definitely making it. For the Sixers, yeah, like you said, they're rolling. They've won five straight. They're just absolutely rolling. The team is meshing really well together. But this team meshes. The amount of good players, the amount of like all-star level talent. When Joel Embiid's at all-star level, when James Harden's facilitating and he can get his own shot, he can make his own bucket. Tyrese Maxey's having an excellent season. And when Toby Harris is actually looking for his own shot, sometimes spotting up and just no hesitation popping those open threes, they're really an unstoppable team.
Yeah, so I'm looking at schedule strength right now. I'm actually totally wrong. Philadelphia has the hardest schedule remaining, with the toughest opponents being Boston, Denver, Memphis. Memphis is crazy, by the way. The Bucks, the Nets, the Cavs. The Nets are currently ninth hardest remaining schedule. They go against the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Cavs, the Kings. And then the Bucks are 12th. I won't list all the opponents there, but Cleveland is actually 29th, so they have a much easier schedule remaining than the other three that could make it in. So I totally see your point. They could totally sneak into the top three.
Yeah, 100%. Cleveland's just look really good. All the advanced metrics are really favoring them, which is really nice. The only thing that they got to get that effective field goal percentage up a little bit. But other than that, I mean, there's just so many guys on that team. They're young, they're hungry, they're looking for that spot. And of course, like we said, everyone's within a game or two right now. Being a top three seed, they're within one game of the Bucks right now, and obviously like, the Nets are within half a game. So it's super super close there for sure.
Yeah, but we can agree that the Celtics are going to run away with the first seed, right? There's no way any team is going to catch up to them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you're on a 9-game win streak like this and you're just absolutely rolling, there was a little rough patch they hit around the middle of the year. They lost like Orlando twice or something. But other than that, they're rolling. Number one net rating in the league, number one SRS. They are the team to beat at this point. 35-12 is, I believe, by far the best record in the league. The Nuggets are close, but and actually, the Nuggets are also on a 9-game win streak, but obviously they're in the West. So honestly, the Celtics, like, they're just gapping everyone. And yeah, I would agree with you. I don't really see that shit, that conference, sorry, shaking out any different than them being the top seed.
Yeah, I agree.
It'll also be interesting to see just on the bottom half of the East. Quickly, we can take a look between the six and the nine seed. Pacers have fallen. They were once the six seed. There seems like the Heat, Knicks, Hawks, all of which I believe I had being in the playoffs other than the Pacers. I'm interested to see what do you think about that part of the conference. Are all those teams going to end up being playoff teams? Which of those will end up being playoff teams, which play-in teams?
I think the Heat's ooh, this is tough. I think the Heat will stay at the sixth seed, so stay out of the play-in. They sucked. They sucked at the beginning of the season, but Bam is rolling now. Oladipo's looked better as of late, and they're just gelling together. I still think they need one more move. They can't score for like anything if Tyler Herro is not on the floor, but he's rolling as well. Except I think he got injured recently. It was against the Nets he got injured, but I think Heat will stay as the sixth seed, and then between the Knicks and Hawks. I was totally wrong about the Hawks in the beginning of the season, to be honest. The DeJounte Murray experiment has failed up to this point. I actually think the Knicks will get that seventh seed. And then I'm going to say Hawks drop out of the playoffs, and I'm going to have Pacers as the eighth seed because I think the Pacers team just gels way better than the Hawks team. And if you look at the matchup, Haliburton and Trey, I'd rather have Haliburton this season, just this season, not overall. I don't know about overall. But this season, I'd definitely rather have Haliburton. And then I think Clint can't really guard Turner, and then Buddy Hield has looked amazing this season. I think Pacers is a better put together team, especially because we don't know what the hell is going to happen with John Collins. So I'm going to have Hawks dropping out of the playoffs and have the Pacers as the eighth seed.
That's fair. I agree with the Heat. I think they'll still stay there. They're a good enough regular season team. They're gonna figure it out. And they're gonna stay 6-7 seed for sure. The Knicks are interesting because it's all just the Julius Randle thing. If Julius Randle is playing at that all-star, like basically all NBA MVP level guy, that he is at times, then they can 100% stay in that seat, but he's just so shaky. 1 minute he's that guy, and 5 minutes later he's 1 for 20 and he's missed 8 threes. I don't really know how I feel about this. I've watched enough games to kind of think they're just going to float around anywhere between 7 to 10 seed. They'll definitely make the playoffs or at least the play-in. But I'm so intrigued by them. I don't see them making the 6 seed, though. I think they'll be in the play-in somewhere. I'm happy I was kind of right about the Hawks. I think I had them around the seeding. I think they stay here. The issue with the Pacers, the Pacers are a better team. I agree with you. They should be a higher seed. But Haliburton's missed the last few weeks, and he's still going to miss more time. Without him, this team's been awful. They've lost 7 straight, and they're just going to keep sliding until Haliburton comes back. And I agree, he's better than Trae Young this year. But it's just if he doesn't get back soon, this team is going to continue. He's the heart and soul. He's the entire team. As good as a lot of the other guys, like you're saying, Buddy Hield have been, he still is the heart and soul of that team. So if he can't get back quickly, I can see the Pacers having to fight through the play-in, but I think they can do it for sure.
Yeah, so if I look at 11 of 15, Pistons, Hornets, Magic, don't need to worry about any of them. Wizards, don't need to worry about them. The Raptors are interesting. I think they could fight for that 10 spot, but I don't think they're actually going to. So I'm going to ignore the Raptors for now. And then if you look at the play-in right now, the Knicks, Hawks, Pacers, Bulls, if the Pacers drop to, let's say, the 10th seed and they have to face the Bulls, I think that's a toss-up because the Bulls could just go crazy. Like, DeRozan and LaVine could just have a really good shooting night. And Caruso could play really good defense on Haliburton. So I think that's a toss-up. But let's say the Pacers beat the Bulls, and I think they can beat the Hawks, like head-to-head. So even if they drop seedings, I have faith in them to make the eighth seed. But I don't think they're going to be the eighth seed at the end of the regular season. I think they'll probably be around 9 to 10.
Yeah, that's fair for sure. I mean, yeah, the Bulls, Raptors are both really interesting teams. They both have a chance to make that 10 seed. But yeah, I think anyone above them could definitely and should be favored in a game against either the Bulls or Raptors. Now they just look particularly good this season. The Bulls are kind of starting to find their stride. The Raptors are still just sparkling at this point. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes up. But I agree, Magic down, there's not really a shot. I don't see the Wizards making it. Yeah, the East is interesting. It's very contested in pockets. Like, there's that the one seed is locked up, 2 through 5, the 6 through 10, 10. There's just like, or 6 through 9, sorry, 10 through 12. There's all these little pockets where between one game, and it's gonna be really interesting fight coming down the stretch because obviously making that top 3 seed is important. 70 through the last 75 champions, almost every single champion has been a top 3 seed. So you really, really need to get that locked up.
I will say though, this season is—it's a little bit different. I think this is the most balanced season that we've seen in so long. Because if you look at how close every game is and how close the seedings are, it's ridiculous. So I would say This could be one of the seasons that a top three seed doesn't win the championship. I think that could totally happen. If you look at the East, I think the Nets could win the chip. The Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics. I don't think the Cavs will win the chip. I think it's not their year, maybe next year. Or a couple years after that when Emo gets better. He did drop 38 yesterday, by the way, which is beautiful, but like I don't think it's the year. So Celtics, Sixers, Bucks, Nets, one of them is not top three. I think any of them could win the chip this year. So I think this is an exception almost because it's so balanced across the league.
That's fair, and it is one of the most balanced seasons ever. But I think there's something just innately important about being that top three seed. Especially looking at if we're talking about how good the top five seeds are this year in the East, being that three seed means you get to play against not one of those teams. Two seed, same thing. You don't have to play the Cavs in the first round, or if you're the six seed, obviously. Whatever lower than that, then you're gonna have to, if you slip, you're gonna have to play one of those top teams. The ability to maybe get away with playing a Heat Knicks in the first round, I think, is very, very important. And I think there's a reason this trend has existed for the entirety of the existence of the NBA. It's very difficult not to win as a top three seed. In fact, a four seed has never even won. Yeah, I don't know. I still think a top three seed wins the championship this year. I think a lot of the metrics are still going to be the same. You got to be still a good regular season team. Maybe there's a little more leeway, but I think the same metrics I've looked at in the past, where teams need to be top five net rating and they need to be top four SRS, and there's all of these different metrics that every championship team in the modern era has had. I think those are mostly going to stay the same this year. But I see the argument.
Okay, I see your point, but I gotta have some faith in my Nets because they're the fourth seed right now.
Yeah, fair enough. And they can make it top three. It's possible, but I basically wouldn't put my money on anyone lower than a top three seed. I think it's almost always throwing away money. If we've looked at just past trends, it's tough to do anything like that. But let's take a look at the West, because the West is interesting. I think the top five-ish seeds are going to float around there and stay locked up, and it's going to depend on injuries and stuff like that. But I think what's more interesting is that the seeding between 6 and 13. We have, in order, the Warriors, Timberwolves, Clippers, Jazz, Suns, Thunder, Trailblazers, and Lakers, all within 2 games. So, where do you see those teams shaking up by the end of the year?
This is tough. I would say, oh, I want the Clippers are going to make the playoffs. I'm going to have them as a 7 seed. I think the Timberwolves are going to fall off, and they are currently on a 2-game win streak. They climbed to the 7 seed. I don't even notice that, but I don't think they're that good. I think head to head with the Clippers, with the Jazz even, or the Suns with a heavy healthy Devin Booker. Sorry, they'd lose to all of them. Lakers are not going to make it. I don't care. People can have some faith in the Lakers. I don't think AD is going to be that good when he's coming back from injury. He's going to need some time to recover. LeBron is playing out of his goddamn mind, but they're the 13th seed. I don't even think they're going to climb to the 10th seed, to be honest with you. The Suns suck right now, but people forget that at the beginning of the season when D Book was healthy, they were rolling. They were really, really good. So I think when D Book comes back, they'll be able to make a top 10 seed, and then I think they'll take the 8th spot. But it is interesting because Jazz won't make it. Okay, so teams are going to eliminate straight off the bat are the Jazz, the Blazers, and the Lakers. But the Thunder are actually interesting with Shea because that team is built really well. And I think they could totally beat a team in a 2-game series or a 1-game series. So the Clippers to me are a lock at the 7 seed. But then it's between the Suns and the Thunder for the 8th seed. And I'd give the edge to the Suns if they have a healthy Devin Booker.
That's fair. Okay, so the Clippers are interesting. I like the Clippers. They have been really bad this year. Metrics aren't looking good for them. They're like 24th net rating. They're negative SRS. And the issue is just they haven't really figured it out. In some spots, that point guard position for the Clippers really hasn't been figured out. Neither John Wall or Reggie Jackson's really having a great year, which is unfortunate. I really like Reggie Jackson when he plays off ball more and he doesn't take a high volume of shots. He just gets to his spots and distributes, but he's not doing those things this year. John Wall's just not good at this point. He's completely inefficient. I can't even make a free throw. They've missed some guys like Luke Kennard. It should be a big piece of this team, but he's missed time. And of course, the two stars have missed a lot of time. That's the other issue. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have missed time, and now they're that good. But Kawhi Leonard's like way better in his last six games. He's averaging something like 30 points on 65% true shooting or something ridiculous of that nature. So I agree with you. I definitely think the Clippers would be there. The Warriors are still weathering the storm this year. I still agree. I still see them around the sixth seed. I found it interesting you ruled the Jazz out so quickly because I don't see them really selling at the deadline, so I think they still have a shot. It's always tough to rule any of these teams out. The Timberwolves will look much better if late. I agree with you. I don't know if I trust them. Booker is going to be reevaluated in a week. I think the Suns will definitely make a playoff spot. I'd be shocked if they fell out. I think they look bad recently, but I agree with you. They look good enough when healthy. Not great, but good enough. I'm the biggest SGA fan, but the Thunder are on a hot streak. They're not going to end up making a playoff spot. They've been really hot recently, but I don't actually see them making a spot there. So I'd say Warriors, Clippers, Suns for sure. Those are the locks, right? And much somebody who comes out of those two seat, those bottom two. I think the Lakers are going to compete. I was watching the game recently where Dennis Schroder had that beautiful steal. Took it coast to coast for the game winning
Oh, against the
play
Grizzlies, against the Grizzlies.
against the Grizz. Yeah, that was a good game. That was a good team game. They've played a lot of good team games recently, and a lot of games they've lost by really small margins. Like they lost the Mavs game in OT. They lost the Sixers game by one. They lost the Kings game by five all recently without AD. I watch a lot of Lakers basketball because they play the 8 o'clock slot and it's always on cable, and that's kind of when I'm awake. So I've started to see this team. There is a path for them. They just need to get guys back. Austin Reaves is missing time. AD is missing time. I could see them sneaking into that bottom seat. So honestly, I would go Warriors, Clippers, Suns. They're going to be the 10 seed though, the Lakers. And then
Jazz.
I really want to say the Jazz made that last seed. Yeah, I just don't like the T-Wolves this year. I haven't watched enough Blazers to really make an opinion. They look good the one game I watched early in the year, but they've been slipping recently. So yeah, I want to say the Jazz sneak in. I think I don't like it. It sure was it a fluke at the start of the year? Yeah, but after that losing streak, they've kind of just been floating. They've been weathering the storm. They've been good enough, and I think they can continue to be good enough to sneak into that 9 or 10 seed.
I will say I agree that the Lakers could definitely make that 10 seed because I've been watching a lot of Lakers games recently as well, just because Bron is popping off, not because I'm awake at 8 o'clock or anything. I usually just watch Nets games because I love the Nets. But if you look at the role players of the Lakers, they've been playing way better as of late. Thomas Bryant is so underrated. He's making a minimum, I think, and he's been so good. He can shoot middies, he gets so many boards, he gets offensive boards, he gets putbacks, he does exactly what Bron needs. Troy Brown Jr. has spaced the floor really well. Wenyen Garrett Gabriel has been a hustle player. Like Kendrick Nunn has looked a lot better as of recent. Like he's returning to his old self. He's looking more healthy than earlier in the season. So if you look at the role players in the Lakers, they're playing a lot better than the beginning of the season. If AD comes back, and hopefully he comes back recently, actually haven't heard much about him lately, but if he comes back and he plays even close to the level that he did his best season so far, in my opinion, if you just count that calculate like that concentrated 20 game stretch, if he plays anywhere close to that, then I think the Lakers could be really scary to play in.
Yeah, I agree. AD is supposed to be back. So last I heard, it was pre All-Star break. He's supposed to be back. I don't know how soon, but I want to say within the next maybe 2 weeks. I can't actually remember exactly when the All-Star break is this year. It is the February 19th. So I think he'll be back. I heard he'd be back before that. I definitely think he will be. I just really hope they don't rush him back because as much as they need him, they're doing well enough. I agree with you recently. The role players have stepped up. Yeah, like guys have just looked better. Lonnie Walker's looked better. Dennis Schroder, for a guy who's not having a good start to his season, has looked a lot better recently. He's creating his own shot. He's doing the little things. Yeah, awesome reason to get him back has been awesome. But yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of guys that have just been stepping up, playing better. I love E. Kendrick Nunn. I hope he can continue to play better and better and better. Troy Brown, for sure. I feel like Thomas Bryant has been awesome for this team. No one's talking about that. The guy can make threes too when he's open. Should knock him down at a 38% clip. Thomas Bryant's really, really good. I couldn't believe honestly they signed him for a minimum. I remember He was good with Washington in that ACL tear, and we didn't really hear of him ever again. But he had some good years in Washington, a little earlier in his career. Even guys like Wendon Gabriel. So yeah, for sure. I think the Lakers are probably the most talked about team for no reason, being the 13 seed. But also, it kind of makes sense because I see them coming back and being the 10 seed. And of course, they're in LA with LeBron and Anthony Davis, who's not going to talk about them.
Yeah, the Lakers are always going to be talking about big market teams, LeBron and AD. Like, it doesn't matter how bad they are.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the way it's always going to be. But honestly, once you learn to accept it, I think it makes things better for sure. I think that's the time we have for today. It's interesting to hear your thoughts on both conferences. The league is really balanced, really close this year. So there's a lot of interesting things coming down the stretch. What teams will make these seedings is very important. Like I said, being a top three seed, you also want to be a top six seed. You really don't want to have to go into that play and play a potentially a one game series or a one and done, or you lose one, you still have another chance. But still, you lose two straight games, you could just be out of the playoffs altogether. For teams like the Warriors who have championship aspirations, so I'm sure you really got to make sure you lock down those top six seeds. Just a lot of interesting things in the league this year. Teams that are slipping, like the Raptors, we didn't expect. Heat, Hawks, who haven't looked nearly as good as we thought they were going to be. So for sure, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff. Obviously, the Jazz, the West is so tightly contested in that range area. So I think it's interesting to look at just past halfway mark here, a little before the All-Star break, how we think things are going to be shaking up, because it's very important trying to look to the future here and maybe see how everything's going to shake up in the year. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I will say. So weekly episodes, sometimes we have people featured, and this is just one of the only episodes recently that we won't have someone on featured. So I want to do something weekly called like a player of the week. So just shouting out a player, and we could probably start that this week. And I wanted to shout out Claxton because again, I love the Nets. But let me pull up Claxton's stats. He's leading the league in the NBA if you don't count Jaren Jackson, who's been not playing that many games. But Claxton in the last two games, 25-1, 4 blocks. 20-11-3, 3 blocks. One game was 8-9 field goal, one was 9-12. He's been amazing. With him, the Nets are fourth in defensive rating. Without him, we're 28th. So shout out to Nick Claxton. Do you have a player this week that comes to mind that really stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I shouted him out earlier, but Kawhi Leonard recently has just been way better. I don't know if it's exactly within the last week, but since he missed a game, he was out for time. But since he came back in his most recent stretch, like I said, last six games, I'll just read you the numbers really quick. 30 points a game. He's shooting 54, 50, 93 splits. It's 50, 50, 90 on 30 points a game. 6.5 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals. He's looking a lot like the Kawhi Leonard we've expected him to be. They still are only 3-3 over that stretch, but the losses have been much closer. I think they just need to come together as a team. But he's been so much better of late. They're going to start finding their footing. The defense has been there the whole season as a team. And if they can keep being there and they can just get that offense to league average level, they'll be good for sure. So yeah, that I talked about it a little earlier, but that would probably be my player.
Cool. I think we can call it a day then.
Yeah, for sure.
Do I do the closing or should I? I'll edit this part out.
You usually do, but I can
Okay,
do it
I'll
if
do
you want.
it. I can do it. I can do it. Okay, with that being said, make sure to check us out on all our platforms. We post reels 4 times a week on Instagram and TikTok. Make sure to check us out. Our podcast is available on Spotify, on iTunes, and on YouTube. We release every Sunday at 5 a.m. Eastern Time. Make sure to check out our link tree. It has all our available links. With that being said, until next week, we're out.